Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
Beautiful people, happy Monday, April 5th, 2021, and welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Boy, oh boy, what a weekend. What a weekend. First off, I want to say that I really hope you all had a fantastic Easter holiday. Easter was yesterday, and, you know, some call it Resurrection Sunday, right? And, you know, it's usually a time where we all, you know, hit up our place of worship with our family and friends and other loved ones and, you know, come together and somebody in the family throws down, right? At least that's how it happens in my family, you know, due to the pandemic, because we still are in the midst of a pandemic and I haven't been vaccinated yet. I just, you know, kicked it right here at my apartment and just laid low. But, you know, I saw many people on social media gathering with their family and loved ones, and I really hope you all had a great one out there. So happy Easter, happy belated Easter to you all. And second of all, I got to address the latest in the world of music, because, man, I lost my mind last night watching Versus. If you don't know what Versus is, Versus is a Instagram page that was founded by music producers Swiss Beatz and Timbaland, and they came together during the pandemic, you know, last year, and said, you know what, people are really fiending for some entertainment right now because everybody's at home in quarantine. How can we do that as music artists? So they decided to create this platform on Instagram in which they take two artists and have those two artists battle on Instagram Live track for track. It has become immensely popular and has just blown up. They actually won a few awards, if I'm not mistaken, just a couple of weeks ago for just how big this thing has gotten. And it is huge for the black community, especially, man. Like when they announce a new Versus battle, everybody marks it on the calendars and gets ready. You know, my family hits me up and says, all right, here we go. Here's another one. And I have really, really enjoyed watching each and every one of them. You know, probably my favorite was last night, though, as the Isley Brothers and Earth, Wind, and Fire. And look, all of my seasoned listeners out there may be saying, Al, what in the world do you know about the Isley Brothers and Earth, Wind, and Fire? That was well before your time. We're talking the 60s and the 70s when they really began to blow up. And look, to that I say, look, I'm an old soul. I am the product, thank goodness, of parents and more specifically my grandparents who, you know, I was around a lot coming up and they educated me on good music. And that has stuck with me throughout my 30 years of life. And they, of course, put me on the Isley Brothers and Earth, Wind, and Fire. And they have been two of my favorite groups of all time. And when they announced that those two groups will be battling on Versus on Easter Sunday at 8 p.m., you better believe I had an alarm set. I had, you know, popcorn on deck, you know, and snacks. I was ready last night, and I enjoyed. Those who follow me on Instagram, you guys just saw that I enjoyed every bit of that last night. So if you didn't watch that greatness, check it out. It's all over YouTube. It's all over Instagram now. But watching, you know, Ron and Ernie Isley go at it against the elements of Earth, Wind, and Fire, man, that was special. And rest in peace to Maurice White, who is the founder of Earth, Wind, and Fire, who we sadly lost, you know, not too long ago. So, wow. What a moment it was. It was hosted by Steve Harvey, and Steve, you know, in the first half of the battle, Steve was telling a story about every single song and why that song was so precious to him and how he would write down the lyrics to that song and then ride his bicycle over to the girl who he had a crush on and drop it off and act like it was her homework, but it was the lyrics to some Earth, Wind, and Fire song. Oh, man, that was great. It was great. But, you know, in the second half, I think they told Steve, all right, Steve, stop telling your stories and let the music ride. And that's what happened in the second half. And they were just going track for track for track. And they eventually got loose because at first they were just sitting down. Both groups were just kind of sitting down and letting the music play. And I'm like, come on, man, can we get some performances here? You know, I just don't want to see you guys just sit there and just let it play and you guys just listen to the music. And in that second half, and as the night went on, they got more and more loose, and they got up and they started singing like every single song. And then Ernie brought out his guitar and he's stringing every single Isley Brothers joint. Man, it was epic. It was epic. So I enjoyed that. And also another artist who just last year performed in Versus, and he went against the great Snoop Dogg. Snoop D-O-double-G. It was a hip-hop battle between Snoop Dogg and the great DMX. Both artists who I am a huge, huge fan of. You know, and I've got, you know, I still got a CD case, even though we don't use CDs anymore. And I've got at least three of DMX's albums in my CD case. But we learned over the weekend that unfortunately, and DMX has been battling these demons for a long time, he actually overdosed on drugs and had a heart attack. And it was first reported by TMZ. TMZ is always over, you know, things like this first. And they said that he was without oxygen for about 30 minutes and that had severely limited his brain activity and he had to go on life support. And then another update came out after that update saying that, okay, they took him off life support. He was breathing on his own and he was recovering, but he was in bad shape, bad condition. And I kept reading about, you know, possible limited brain activity, just all of this stuff, man. So, X, we are thinking of you. We are praying for you. And we are praying for a miracle right now because he's a giant. He is a giant, folks. And, you know, it's like I always say, you know, tomorrow is never, ever promised. You know, you just don't know what's going to happen tomorrow or, look, even the next hour or the next 5 minutes. My goodness, you know, life is just so precious, so appreciated. But, you know, we are definitely thinking about the great DMX right now and hoping that that he can pull it through. Okay, with that being said, the weekend in sports was awesome. It was awesome, folks. In college basketball, we saw one amazing day of Final Four action on Saturday in college hoops. And then last night, and this was like a great appetizer for the Versus with the Isley Brothers and Earth, Wind, and Fire, because right before, they took the stage, we saw an unreal national championship game in women's college basketball, and you know it eventually yielded and crowned Stanford as the national champions of the women's college basketball hoop world, of 1-point victory over Arizona. I mean, this thing was tight, and it went down to the wire. And look, man, you know, even though Arizona lost this game, they fought so hard. So hard. Haley Jones was amazing, hitting the, you know, the big bucket. You know, as time expires, she was named the tournament's outstanding player and was just lights out. Lights out. And they're just a really deep team. Stanford's depth was a big part of his championship run. But this sophomore, Haley Jones, she was the number one recruit in the class of 2019. A knee injury actually derailed her freshman campaign just 18 games into last year. And now, you know, she's named as the Final Four most outstanding player. She was remarkable. She was remarkable as Stanford held off Arizona late. And Ari McDonald's shot just off the mark as the Cardinal win the national title. And that's the other player I want to bring up, because Ari McDonald is so good. I mean, she's not the biggest player, but she is so smart, and she can shoot the ball. Her speed is unreal, and she is just a baller. You know, just some players, you just put them in a different category as being a baller. They know how to hoop. They are hoopers, man. They go out there. If you need a big play, they will go out there and make big play after big play after big play. They can go get you a bucket. And that's who Ari McDonald is. I mean, she led Arizona with 22 points. Also had two steals. Throw in three rebounds. And why not? Two assists as well. I mean, she is so good. So fun to watch. And I just think that you know, in the end, you know, and she had, oh man, had a chance there in the final minutes, but you know, just really tough stuff, man. You know, they inbounded the ball to her, you know, and she dribbled, you know, they put a lot of players on her, and she tried to hoist up a three, and she had like three players on her, and it clanked off the iron, and Stanford ends up winning the game. You could just see the emotion on Ari's face. She immediately began to sob, you know, hoping for that magical moment, you know, seeing if the ball would go in. But, you know, give Stanford a lot of credit. They threw some bodies at her. And, look, she had one of her teammates open on the right as well who seemed to be cutting to the basket. But I think she got into that one-track mind of, look, this game is mine. I'm playing well. I'm the leader of this squad. But if you look at the replay, because they threw three bodies at her, she had a player on the right sideline that was open. But look, man, you know, hey, she had been balling all game. I can't argue too much with that shot. And Stanford ends up winning that game. But that was so thrilling to watch, and congratulations to Stanford. And, yo, shout out to all of women's college hoops for giving us such an entertaining tournament. That was so fun. You know, we had many upsets. We saw Gino Auriemma, who is in a class of his own when you talk about all-time greats. Gino Auriemma's UConn teams are always in the Final Four, are always competing for national championships, but, you know, they fell in this tournament, and that was such a shocker. You know, the runs of Stanford and Arizona were just remarkable throughout this tournament. And, you know, we saw a lot of great moments, just a lot of great moments throughout this NCAA tournament. And also shout out to Susie Merchant and the Michigan State women's basketball team for the incredible run that they had in this tournament. You know, just getting to the tournament is awesome. And, you know, that kind of consistency is what Susie always wants to build here in East Lansing, and she is certainly doing that. So shout out to Susie, man. Just amazing stuff. So with that being said, and then, you know, previewing the segment B for current sports today. We do got more spring football coverage for you guys. I'm going to roll in some media availability from some players. You'll get the chance to hear from Drew Jordan, who is a defensive end and grad transfer from Duke, putting out a lot of impressive film. All right, and he is gaining a lot of starting experience. He had a lot of starting experience at Duke, and you know he received a lot of attention in the transfer portal. You'll hear from him as Michigan State continues to prep throughout spring ball, and also Kenneth Walker III, who is a running back from Wake Forest. And, you know, look, Walker admitted that he didn't know much about Michigan State before deciding to make the move to East Lansing, but he did play against the Spartans back in the 2019 Pinstripe Bowl. That's when Michigan State defeated Wake Forest by 6 points in that game. And he said that he had a lot of conversations with Mel Tucker and also Michigan State running back coach William Piegler, and he heard the plan those two coaches laid out for Walker and how he would fit into the offense. It looks as though he is going to be an immediate impact player, and that's what sold him on Michigan State. So you'll get the chance to hear from Kenneth Walker as well as Drew Jordan in just a moment. But, folks, I think I witnessed the most entertaining college basketball game that I have ever seen in my 30 years here on planet Earth on Saturday night. That UCLA and Gonzaga game that culminated with the moment of the tournament. That was the moment. Unless this national championship brings us another one like it. Saturday night, watching Jalen Suggs' half-court shot go in overtime of a tie game with 3 seconds left, banking off the backboard and trickling right through the hoop, was one of the most thrilling moments I've ever seen, and it was the most entertaining game that I can remember. I can't remember a game against two amazing squads like that going at it blow for blow, heading into overtime with the amount of weight that we're talking about in that game. Because we're not talking about any old regular season game or any old conference championship game or any old, you know, beginning of the tournament matchup. Folks, this kind of game happened in the Final Four. All chips on the table. Gonzaga's undefeated record on the line. A team that had to have a play-in game to make the tournament, pushing a all-time historic squad in the Gonzaga Bulldogs to overtime, and for it to culminate in the Final Four the way it did. I can't recall a game, again, in my 30 years on this earth, that had all of those ingredients at once. A buzzer beater overtime winner, an undefeated team in Gonzaga going to the national championship game now in the Final Four. I don't know. If I'm missing a game here that had all of those ingredients, please enlighten me. But right now, I cannot recall a game like that. All right? I mean, the stakes, folks, that's what really does it for me, too. I mean, when you look at all of this, Gonzaga going for its first perfect season since 1976. The Bulldogs had won 29 of 30 games by double digits. UCLA was looking to become the first number 11 seed to make a title game. The Bruins also trying to become the first squad to go from the play-in game to the national title game. Those are all of the stakes that were at play in this historic matchup. I don't know. I can't recall a matchup that had those kind of stakes and ended that way in an extra session of free basketball. Goodness, man. It was just remarkable. And then, you know, it was great hoop. That's the thing about it, man. It wasn't like these dudes were out there just chucking up bad shots and things were clanking off the iron and you're sitting there yelling at the TV like, oh, my goodness, get a better shot. I mean, they both executed so well offensively, and they also played so well defensively. It was just great offense at times. I mean, both teams shot better than 57% from the floor. How insane is that? UCLA made 47% of its shots from deep. Only one game after somehow beating number one Michigan while scoring just 51 points, and the Bruins put up 90 and lost. Goodness. And, you know, with most of college basketball lacking a lot of star power this season, Saturday's game showcased some of the nation's best, folks. And for me, the X factor, what proved to put Gonzaga over the hump, sure, we are going to be talking about that Jalen Suggs shot, just like we talk about the Grand Hill heave to Christian Laettner to win that game for Duke back in the day, right? That is going to be a highlight. And Grant, Jim Nance, Bill Raftery, they all talked about it during that moment, how that replay, how that moment is going to be replayed, I should say, in college basketball lore around the time of March Madness, year after year after year now. It was that kind of a moment. But in order to get to that moment, for us to have that moment, to enjoy that moment, it would not have existed without the all-time play of Drew Timmy. He was the standout in that game. Playing with four fouls, what he was able to do, playing with four fouls, was simply remarkable, including taking a charge in the clutch, final seconds of regulation that eventually sent that game into an extra session. Not being afraid to stand in there, sacrifice his body, knowing that he had four fouls, folks. He was a beast. He finished with 25 points. That huge charge in the dying seconds of regulation. Then he just kept feeding them. They kept going to him at the beginning of overtime, and UCLA had no answer for him. I mean, he was unstoppable. But in order to counter that, you also have to have your own star of yourself making buckets. And you already know who that guy was. He's been that guy for UCLA throughout this tournament, starting with that elimination of our beloved Michigan State Spartans in that first four game. Johnny Juzang, the Kentucky, former Kentucky recruit, he was unconscious for a stretch while producing 29 points, including the game-tying bucket with 3 seconds left in overtime. I thought the thing was going to double OT after he threw up that, either it was a rebound or a pump fake, you know, and then was able to slither right to the right side, lay up off the glass, tie game. But then Jalen Suggs, man, the biggest star of the night, the best NBA prospect of everybody on the court that night, projected top three pick. I think he should go number one. That's just me, though. He showed off his wide-ranging skills throughout the contest before hitting, again, this is one of the most iconic shots in NCAA tournament history. He was great. Jalen Suggs was great. And props, man. You know, you got to give a lot of credit to UCLA. And I don't know, maybe they put something on tape that Baylor will use tonight. Because the national championship game is tonight, and this is the matchup that many people wanted to see. This is what I wanted to see. You know, I wish I would have had this. I wish I would have just stuck with my mind and not went with my heart. Because I really began to believe Illinois, and I'm like, oh my goodness, Illinois is playing so good. And I had Illinois playing Gonzaga in the national championship instead of the red hot Baylor Bears, who are in the championship game alongside Gonzaga. I should have just went with my head here because the Bears, what they did to Houston on Saturday, I mean, gosh, man, they are on fire. They really are. And they have a legitimate claim to possibly be the nation's best based on what they do tonight. They are so good. And probably, you know, Gonzaga is probably the only team as balanced as Baylor offensively. That's why this game tonight is going to be so fun to watch. The Bears can definitely score with the Bulldogs. The Bears led the country in three-point shooting as a team. And that skill was on full display as Jared Butler, you know, he led the charge with, what, four or five shooting from beyond the arc. Baylor shooting is dangerous. And when you shoot that well, you're never out of a game. I don't care if you're watching that game, and let's just say Gonzaga gets out to a hot start and they're out, you know, I don't know, they're out in front 10 to 15 points, double digits. You can't count the Baylor Bears out because they shoot so well. And they share the ball and find wide open looks so well. That's what makes them so tough to guard. You know, I'm going with Gonzaga to win tonight, but it's not going to be easy, man. It's just not. This Baylor team is one that could spoil the party of seeing Gonzaga, you know, go undefeated and make that history. You know, the first time we've seen that since possibly the 70s. So, you know, I'm wondering, you know, what do you guys think is going to happen tonight? Because I think this is going to be very, very close. And I mean very, very close. It's going to go down to the wire. It's not going to be UCLA and Gonzaga all over again. If it does, thank you, basketball powers that be. But I highly doubt that. But this game is virtually a pick 'em, according to Vegas. I mean, you look at it. Gonzaga is a 4.5-point favorite. That's a toss-up. You know, and when it comes to close matchups, you know, we've been seeing, you know, Vegas has been in love with those 7.5-point lines. And a 4.5-point line in college hoops, that's a pick 'em. You can go either way there. But Gonzaga is going to be the favorite because they are the sexier team because of that unblemished record of theirs. But this is a game that is going to go down to the wire, I think. But you got to put respect on Gonzaga's name. I think, you know, a game like that can really wake you up. I don't know, was Gonzaga looking at this game against UCLA and saying, just like many other teams have said, and falling victim to it, oh, that's an 11 seed. We got this. We can just turn it on and off like a light switch. I don't think so, though. Because, again, when you look at that game, as I stated, I thought Gonzaga executed very well offensively. Just UCLA was so good, especially throughout stretches defensively. The Bulldogs were fantastic. But the cream eventually rose to the top at just the right moment. And Drew Timmy, my goodness, he is a sight to behold, man. But this Bruins, you know, team, they erased an 11-point halftime deficit during the play-in game just to force overtime against Michigan State and noted March assassin that is Tom Izzo. Let's not forget that. And they stated this during the broadcast. Jim Nance brought this up, how, you know, Mick Cronin and UCLA felt like when they beat Michigan State, there was this overwhelming confidence that they got. Because anytime that you beat Tom Izzo in March, say what you will, Spartan fans, I think you're just kind of spoiled and you kind of just forget the embarrassment of riches that you have here in East Lansing and how privileged you are to have a Hall of Fame basketball coach in Izzo guiding your Spartans. But Izzo is feared. He is feared in March, folks, by other teams. If you would just ask other teams, other fans in the Big Ten, what they think of Michigan State basketball, I think you would be shocked how many of them fear the Spartans because of Tom Izzo. But when they won against Michigan State, that injected this crazy confidence. And UCLA, as a number 11 seed, they weren't a number 11 seed. Too much talent on that squad to be a true 11 seed. You know, the committee got that one wrong, obviously. And they showed why they weren't an 11 seed in this tournament. I mean, pushing an all-time historic team to the brink like that. Goodness, man. Just amazing. So I want to give a lot of props to the Bruins. They were certainly fun to watch throughout this tournament. Johnny Juzang, Jaime Jaquez, such a fun, gritty player who always makes the right play, it seems. Also, Tiger Campbell, a.k.a. Bob Marley. He definitely looks like you know, Bob Marley's lost son, doesn't he? but Gonzaga and Baylor, two more heavyweights going at it tonight. It is going to be a fun national championship game. And I hope it goes down to the wire just like the women's did last night between Arizona and Stanford. But tonight, 9:20 p.m. on CBS, we'll be recapping it all on, of course, tomorrow's Current Sports, okay? But what I want to do right now is hit our final break. And again, like I said, when we come back, we are going to hear from two players who are in the thick of things for Michigan State spring ball. You are going to get the chance to hear from Kenneth Walker III, who is a running back transfer from Wake Forest, as well as Drew Jordan, defensive end and grad transfer from Duke. You know, that's like the buzzword now in college sports, right? Transfer. Because of how the transfer portal has really just changed the game now and given student-athletes power to really take hold of their college careers if they're not happy with the school. You know, and I can't knock it, man, because they don't have a lot of power, you know, and they don't even get paid, for goodness sake, you know. And I was having a conversation, you know, on Saturday night with my mentor. And we were just talking, man. I'm like, look, man, I don't tune in, you know, for March Madness to see the coaches. Nobody does. You tune in to watch great players like a Jalen Suggs, like a Johnny Juzang. Those are the guys that entertain us. And the fact that they don't see a dime, and you know that March Madness is bringing in all of this money for collegiate sports, and just look at all the advertising. I mean, look at Samuel L. Jackson, Charles Barkley, Spike Lee, and all of these commercials they're doing alongside, you know, Larry Bird and Jim Nance. Magic Johnson is in one of those joints as well. I mean, it's like, dude, and these student-athletes don't see a dime of it. Yeah. And thank goodness it's going to change, folks. It's going to change. We're almost there. All right. All right, but let's hit this first break. When we come back, we'll roll in those Michigan State spring football interviews. You are listening to the Monday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. As promised, here are players. Drew Jordan, defensive end transfer from Duke, now with the Michigan State football program. And also Kenneth Walker, also with the MSU football program. He is a running back transfer from Wake Forest. Enjoy these.
If you could walk us through the decision when you decided to transfer from Wake Forest, what brought you to Michigan State?
So as I was in the portal, I got a chance to talk to Coach P and Coach Tuck a lot. And they showed me everything, like sent me pictures of the campus. You know, we couldn't join campus and everything with COVID, but I got to see the campus and everything. I really liked, they showed me the offense. I felt like I was a good fit in the offense, and being able to get that bond with them, it was pretty good. And that was my big decision.
What was kind of your impression from afar from Michigan State? I know you played against them in New York a few years back, but just kind of your impression of the program. Granted, the coaching staff is almost completely different than it was when you saw them on the field as an opponent.
I'm sorry. The impression, like when I got here, or
just kind of your impression of the program from afar. I mean, you played against them once, but you know, mm-hmm. the coaching staff changed since then.
Right. Oh yeah. So before I arrived, I didn't know much about Michigan State at the time, but like as I got to campus, I love it. I love everything about it. The culture, I think that's a big thing here. It's a great culture, and that's probably my biggest interest. I love that.
Thank you.
Our next question will go to Stephen Brooks with 24/7 Sports.
Hey, Kenneth. Nice to meet you here. Appreciate you taking the time. I just wanted to ask you, for people that have never seen you play, what type of back are you? What are Michigan State fans going to see this fall when they see you play? And just how do you see yourself fitting in with the running backs that are already here and what that rotation could look like possibly, you know?
Right. So for the last question, the running backs, I think it's great. All of us, Connor, Jordan, Donovan, Eli, I think we got a pretty good set of backs. I mean, we compete at practice, but we also push each other to do our best. You know, I make a mistake, they critique me, and vice versa, to make sure we get better. As far as me personally, I believe I'm an explosive back. I think my best thing is explosiveness, being able to go in and out of my cuts and my vision.
And then I know you talked a little bit about finding Michigan State once you went in the portal. What about going into the portal? I mean, why did you just think you wanted to change from Wake Forest?
I felt like I didn't fit as well in the offense. That was pretty much a big big part of my decision. The offense, I felt like I wasn't a big fit there.
What type of things did you see in Michigan State then that you liked?
It's more like a pro style, you know. Even now, we are able to watch film on, like, the league and, like, everything we do now, I can see, like, watch film on the league and, like, they're doing exactly the same. So that's pretty interesting to me.
Okay. Thank you, man.
No problem.
Our next question will go to Rainer Saban with the Detroit Free Press.
Hi, how's it going? The running game obviously struggled quite a bit last year for Michigan State. When the coaching staff is recruiting you, did they sell you on the fact that you could be possibly a difference maker?
Yes, sir. Yeah. I believe that could make an impact on the team, and that was pretty much a big deal.
Could you elaborate on that? Like, what aspects were they kind of most intrigued about you that they thought that you could bring to the table for Michigan State?
Pretty much how I explained earlier about me personally, my explosiveness, vision, talked about my skill set, being able to catch out the backfield. I know we didn't do that much at Wake, but yeah.
Thanks.
No problem.
Our next question will go to Audrey Dahlgren with WLNS.
Hi, Kenneth. Welcome to East Lansing. Not new, but, you know, welcome to East Lansing. Going back off of the vision aspect, I could see maybe Mel Tucker or some of the coaches, maybe their like eyes lighting up or their ears liking you, like saying that vision and explosiveness. So can you let us in on some of those conversations of maybe what they had to say about that you as a running back when you described that to them? Or
I'm sorry, what did you say? What was the last part?
Can you describe, I guess, in terms of just your vision and explosiveness, how maybe Tucker and the rest of the staff perceive that if you described yourself as that way to them? You know, because I can see Mel, you know, kind of maybe liking that you have a vision, because he's a pretty visionary guy.
Right. They'll show me some film. You know, we go over film and we'll see, like, holes, like, I guess that was missed in the game or whatever like that. And, like, they feel like I could, like, make plays. Like, I could do something different than other backs.
Thank you.
No problem.
We have time for a couple more. We'll go back to Matt Wenzel with MLive.
Hey, Kenneth, I was wondering, were you able to, I know obviously the recruiting dead period, but were you able to get a look at campus, or did you see Michigan State for the first time when you arrived in January to enroll?
It was actually my first time when I arrived. You know, COVID kind of messed everything up with being able to come on campus and do visits. But yeah, it was my first time. It was pretty different with all the snow and stuff. I'm not really used to it, but yeah.
What's it like making, you know, a life changing decision without being able, you know, you're going to go move somewhere for probably multiple years. Likely, what's it like doing that without even being able to visit and you just show up in the middle of winter?
I felt pretty confident, you know, that's how they made me feel real confident when I talked to him on the phone and everything. I got to see little bits and pieces, but like I felt pretty comfortable being able to make that decision without even coming to campus physically, being able to see it.
You talked about your explosiveness. I think it was 13 touchdowns you had last season.
Yes, sir, 13.
17 the last 2 years. But for Michigan State, you know, they had zero touchdowns from their running backs last year. Now, how much do you think you bring something to the table that they were lacking kind of in that sense, in the ability to get to the end zone?
What was the last part? I'm sorry.
How much do you think you bring something to the table in the ability to get to the end zone, which wasn't the case for them last year?
Oh, I think I bring pretty quite a bit. I think I bring a lot. Yeah, I think I bring a lot.
Thanks, Ken.
No problem.
Our final question will go to Stephen Brooks, 24/7 Sports.
Hey, Kenneth, I wanted to ask you, your goals for this season, your goals for coming here to Michigan State.
Well, me personally, I want to be able to make an impact and contribute to the team, you know. Being able to get to know the guys, you know, we've created a bond. I know we've been working hard on the offseason. A big goal of mine and pretty much everybody else on the team, we want to get a conference championship and go all the way.
Good to see you. I was wondering if you can kind of walk us through the process of making the decision to enter the portal and taking advantage of the extra year and ending up at Michigan State.
Yeah, you know, a big reason that I thought, you know, joining Michigan State was just how the coaching staff was. They were very honest with me. And then the biggest reason was they would set me apart from other defensive ends and, you know, in this next draft class were that, you know, they're really giving me an opportunity to come in here, play, work under a lot of guys that have a lot of NFL pedigree, as well as, you know, they really made my family feel comfortable. They really included my family a lot in the recruiting process. You know, it was a huge decision on me leaving Duke just because I had a lot established there. But I took that leap of faith knowing that, you know, Michigan State would set me apart for the next level and my goals when it came to getting my body in the right place mentally and then also, you know, physically where I'll be able to excel at any point in time.
And I guess who was kind of the main coaches that you talked to or personnel at Michigan State? And do you have any ties in the roster? I think I saw Connor Hayward mention, you know, you guys played youth football together or something. But, I mean, did you have any connections beyond that? And kind of who were your key contact?
Yeah, it was when I first started getting recruited again by Michigan State. You know, I had actually had a visit up here when I was in high school. So, obviously, I knew – you know, coming in, what the landscape looked like, you know, how the locker room was set up. That was huge, you know, being already familiar with this program. Coach Hayes was a huge part in my recruitment. I really spoke with everybody for the most part. I know Connor, of course, you know, played little league ball together, grew up together. I've known him for a very long time now. And then also, you know, knowing Coach Burton, you know, from the staff in the past was also very important, you know, just having that familiar face and knowing that I'd be okay coming up here.
Thanks, Drew.
Thank you.
Our next question is from Lindsay Huddleston.
Hey, Drew, welcome. And just trying to get to know you, if your best friend was here, what would they say about you? How would they describe you to us to let us know the kind of guy you are?
If my best friend was here, you know, I'm a really fun going guy. But when it's time to work, it's time to work. I'm going to do everything in my power to have this team be successful. you know, a trustworthy guy, somebody that's going to have your back, you know, no matter what. You know, every day I'm going to come in and push you to be your best, because if I'm not pushing you to be your best, I'm not doing my job. You know, my best friend will always know that, you know, I'm always going to have his back, and I'm going to do everything in my power to put us in the best position to be successful.
Really good. As a quick follow-up too, as you join a new team, what are you learning now as some ways to kind of best introduce yourself to the team, best connect with the team, that people could get to know you and know what kind of guy you are and know what kind of teammate you'll be?
Yeah, the biggest thing that I've noticed thus far is showing the guys, you know, who I am, you know, putting in the work, because my actions, you know, I can't just come in and just start speaking everything into existence. I have to show them and lead that way. And then once I get that foot in the door with that leadership of, oh, wow, this guy's actually, you know, really serious about this and it's important to him, then I start being more of a vocal leader. But it starts off with laying that foundation of I'm coming in to work.
Got it. Thank you and good luck.
Thank you.
Our next question is from Stephen Brooks with 24/7 Sports.
Hey, Drew, thanks for taking the time here. Good to sort of meet you like this. I'm just curious, you know, say that somebody's never seen you play before and they're a Michigan State fan, how would you describe what you bring and how do you see yourself fitting into this defense? And how were you sort of pitched on coming here and saying, you know, how are the coaches saying we could use you? Just how do you see yourself fitting into all this and what type of player are you?
Yeah. When I was making the decision to come here, you know, the biggest part was they needed a little bit more physicality, and that's what they're going to get from a guy like me. Not only just a guy that can stop the run and bloody your nose in the run, but also somebody that's going to attack you off the edge. You know, speed, strength, tenacity, all those different things. I'm the complete package. I'm not just going to speed rush, but I'm also going to bully you. I'm going to do a lot of different things to keep you off balance, to confuse the guy. And then, you know, when that opportunity presents itself, I'm going to take it.
Oh, man, a lot of personality with those two young men, right? Pretty awesome stuff. Again, Kenneth Walker, running back transfer from Wake Forest, as well as Drew Jordan, defensive end, grad transfer from Duke. Let's hit our final break. When we come back, I'll put a bow on this Monday edition of Current Sports. Don't go anywhere. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, and just to put a brief bow on today's Current Sports, weekend winner for me, you know, weekend winner where I look at the weekend that was in sports and bring to you who I thought had the biggest weekend. Two of them, of course, very obvious, but I am going with the Stanford women's basketball team. Doing what they were able to do throughout the tournament, just remarkable, man, and such a fun team to watch, as well as Arizona, man. You know, both of those squads, I tip my cap to both of them. And Ari McDonald is a star. Haley Jones is a star, and that game going down to the wire the way it did, that was just fun for us all. So, thank you for an amazing, amazing NCAA tournament, women's basketball, women's college hoops. That was so fun. And then Jalen Suggs, man. You know, when you hit a shot like that, that's something that you'll never forget, and it's going to be replayed over and over and over. Just like Grant Hill's pass to Christian Laettner, they always bring it up, and Grant just kind of says, "Oh yeah, that moment was great," and he's got to talk about it every single year. Jalen Suggs, when his basketball career is said and done, and he's old and gray, and he's doing broadcasting, they're going to be bringing that moment up, and he's going to be just like Grant Hill saying, "Oh, yeah, yeah, that moment was great." So, Jalen Suggs, you made history, my friend, and the celebration was awesome, too. You know, he said he always wanted to jump on the scorer's table like Dwayne Wade and LeBron James did back in the day, all right? And, you know, a lot of players have done that over time. Kobe Bryant, right? Michael Jordan, of course. So many greats have done that. So he had his moment on Saturday night. That was pretty awesome. But, hey, guys, enjoy tonight's national championship game. We will see you back here, same time, same place, on the Tuesday edition of Current Sports. But until then, be smart, be safe, and as always, be easy, people.